Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and the Vice article about this podcast is absolutely coming out sometime soon, I promise, I swear. And with me, I have...
Forza Italia! Forza Azzurri! Fuck you, Boris Johnson. Suck on that.
And...
I didn't know if it was in the Monster Masune.
And he has the nerve to judge Mori for what he did in that hospital.
Oh.
Yeah. That's the part I was thinking, should I talk about that? I said, no, but you should not talk about that part.
Yeah.
But really, you just can't. Just do the old fashioned way with the door locked. With a chair blocking somebody's way.
Look, sometimes you just have those days where the fleshlight ain't cutting it anymore.
But that would mean gonna cost the end of the fucking world as we know it.
Look, if you shouldn't we have learned this from Greek mythology? One guy being very horny can, in fact, cause a lot of worldwide problems. I'm pretty sure that's Zeus's entire deal. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I was asleep in that class, but I remember Zeus being very horny and everything went wrong. But, anyway, here we are. Episode 229. So, how's everyone's week been going lately?
It's been going relatively normal. Just been gorging on a lot of live sports, like hockey, which, Tampa won the title again. Good for them. The international variant of football, which Italy beat England in England, which I enjoyed. I very much enjoyed that. Stop giving Dana White money! More of his fighters are getting injured in brutal fashion, and it's just, cursed.
Oof.
Yeah, because it's bad enough when it's with undercard folks. But when it's Conor McGregor and his ankle just snaps off of his leg. Yeah, I think there's a curse going on here. That or, the whole everything Trump touches dies. Because guess who was at that show in Vegas on Saturday night? I just cracked the curse. I'm a genius. Yeah, just a whole bunch of shit like that going on with, Also, the NBA Finals, that's been fun to watch. Always root for the small market team, because they're the ones who are the hungriest. That's a life lesson from me to all of you out there, and, just more of the usual that's been going on. It's hot outside, I don't like that, not one bit.
No, I don't think most people do. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, it's been hot and rainy over here because it's always either hot 1 minute and the next, just rain. Just is happening a lot, because of because I know that that storm Elsa, whatever the fuck it is this time. Is that still happening?
Nah, I'm pretty sure Elsa's dissipated by now.
Okay. It must have been Chuckle Storm. Okay, it must have been Chuckle Storm Olaf or something. I don't know.
We still got a few letters to go until then.
Nothing much. I mean, it's been a kind of a slow week. I think since. Well, normally this time of season or year, I'd be, got this new anime thing since I said, I'm not doing that much. It's like, just feeling kind of, lazy. Well, maybe that's how I feel like, I'm just gonna, I don't know, it's like, not doing much, but it's like, eh.
Yeah, well, not much of a season here.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for me, well, on the topic of anime, I did finally watch their Demon Slayer Mugen Train. Fuck you for making me cry like a bitch.
Damn it, movie. Every time.
And I do very much sympathize with Inosuke heavily, because I too also wish to square up with the goddamn train. You know, the train knows what it did, and it will pay. But yeah, pretty good movie overall. There was just lots of rain. It's just kind of been that way this entire past week. And I don't think there's anything else of note to add here. So we're just gonna, you know, move on into our usual business here. Which, of course, as always, starts with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes and look forward to some new albums. Starting right here at the top, since in the past couple of months we're coming off of synthwave man Perturbator shifting their style into something more post-punk oriented, I guess it's time to check in on another great synthwave act, Ghost. No H. That's a distinction. In fact, you could probably argue the H means badness. Like, if you took the H out of Ghost with an H, they would probably be good. I'm just saying, it's a theory. Apparently, there's a new Ghost album impending. I'm only now learning about this, damn it. Called Rites of Love and Reverence, coming out August 13th. Ooh, Friday the 13th. I'm doing ominous, spooky hand things. Anyway, so we have the latest single from the album, Bound by the Horror. And in some ways, it's not too far removed from its previous stylings, i.e. the bass synthesizers in the song are extremely blown out and noisy. There's kind of like a very grooving synthwave drum thing going on. There are, of course, those ominous, like, horror organ-style synthesizers tweeting, conveying that vibe. Of course, it does have some of its more post-punky moments, given that it's much more vocal of a song than prior Ghost albums, like with that moody, you know, somber singing and some howling screams layered throughout for more of a metal edge, especially in the back half when the bass synth starts glitching out even harder and the synths start stabbing and punctuating like the violins from Psycho and all that. But interesting track, banger of a song. I'm curious to hear how the full album goes.
Okay, so the first 10 seconds of this track to me went like this. The fuck is that tone and why are you using that much gain? Like, that blew out my ears for a moment. I had to turn the volume way down after that. Like, there is a point where you're using too much gain. When the audio's clipping, there's too much gain.
Yeah, that's kind of the Ghost experience a lot of the time.
Well, I don't like it. And aside from that, this track is just kind of boring. Or it's just not that interesting to pay a whole lot of attention to. Like, yeah, it's got the gothic, spooky, spoopiness to it. It's like, okay, do you have anything else? No, you don't. Okay, go away. I'm done with you. Go. Leave. Go away now. Eh.
And now for the next track here, it's time for the tables to completely flip in terms of enthusiasm. Because the week after that Ghost album, there's of course the brand new project from Def Heaven, Infinite Granite. And we have the second single here, The Gnashing, which, continuing the trend from the debut single Great Mass of Color, this one is leaning very, very heavily into the shoegaze. Very little of the old metal style kind of remains, unless you consider like the distorted guitar tones, but again, those are leaning more towards the sort of saturated, reverberating ambiance of shoegaze, just layers of distortion, a steady tempo, vocals being, of course, clean as hell, except there's not even any real screams. The most heaviness you get is kind of a solo section near the end where, like, the guitars, like, screech and howl into the musical distance, and, I mean, the drum work's pretty cool. Otherwise, this is just 5.5 minutes of, okay, can I leave now? Can I go to the bathroom, please? this band is just still not doing a damn thing for me at all. Why do people this band?
Well, fitting with that, there's an inverse here, because this, to me, grabs my attention better by layering itself in some solid post-metal vibes, doesn't try busting my eardrums with an assault of high-gain garbage. So that's a positive. I much prefer airy reverb, thank you very much. And, yeah, I sort of got lost in this in a good way. It's sort of pleasant, especially after hearing whatever the hell that high-gain glitch synth crap was before.
Look, give me a mosh-ready synth banger over just boring, oh, look at us and how cool and artistic we're being. Never liked Death Heaven. And I do not understand you pitchfork nerds out there. Same motherfuckers that are probably, like, you know, praising Code Orange and everything. But anyway, let's move on from that to just completely off-the-wall territory out into the great unknown or whatever. I'm just trying to come up with a clever segue. So, More Mother, who had a collaboration album rather recently with, I believe, Billy Woods, if I recall correctly, is announcing a new, you know, announced a new album coming out September 17th called Black Encyclopedia of the Air. And, of course, we have the first track from this album proper called Obsidian, presumably not some kind of, you know, Bethesda reference, which features a guest performance from none other than Pink Sifu. Interesting to see you back in here after a while. So, yeah, the vibe of this song, as expected from More Mother tracks, it's very, like, delirious, hazy, subdued, kind of ominous, with this weird, you know, synth keyboard thing going on. Kind of, you know, like a dark, haunting vibe. Almost kind of in a vein of, like, Autiker, except more, you know, intimidating. And Sifu's verse is just, like, the back, what, 20, 25 seconds or so of the track. It's a good song to vibe out to, but Pink Sifu, I'm not sure, really adds or subtracts anything from the song.
Yeah, I gotta say, well, it's only known that this song is, well, short. It's like a minute and 45 seconds. That is extremely fucking short. And I gotta say, I do dig the whole aesthetic, what's going on right here. I kind of was liking this stuff. When I get into it, I think Pink Sifu was at the back end because I think More Mother had more focus, which is good on her, which is good on them. And as a Pink Sifu, I've been knowing you for, let's see, since that one of those phone check, and since your collaboration, since you did a song with the Alchemist, I don't know about you. That's like three to like. He won 2-3 checks. I'd listen to you before, like, yeah, I don't know about you.
Yeah, but speaking of Pink Sifu, our next track up on the docket is the most recent entry in the 2021 Adult Swim Singles Program. Track number 10, coming courtesy of an extreme metal band from North Carolina, of all places, named Feminazgul. That Nazgul apparently being some kind of a Lord of the Rings reference, if I recall correctly, but I'm not good with my fantasy mythologies. So, this band, they're pretty recent. They've only had, like, one album out in the past couple years, so fairly new. And they bring this new track here called Amalakht. I'm probably pronouncing that horribly. Again, that's probably another Lord of the Rings reference. The track intros with this kind of melancholic piano and these haunting choir vocals and clinking chains, almost kind of like a Lingua Ignota track, before the full band kicks in proper, and yeah, this is some extreme, you know, black metal, and this is where, you know, the mild tinge of production criticism nerd in me has to kick in, because, good God, the mixing of this track is a perfect example of too hot, too cold, and just right. Too cold, the fucking drums. Especially the snare, which sounds like ass, and is kind of almost weirdly distant sounding in the mix. Although, I guess that's par for the course for extreme metal like this. Too hot. The fucking screamed vocals are way too goddamn high. Like, they are above everything, and it gets a little much. Even if being a little much is arguably the point, but then again, you have Just Right, which the guitars at least sound like they're at a good level with everything else and makes them, you know, easier to vibe to, you know, as the song veers through, like, you know, D beats and blast beats and just, and actually, now that I think about it, I can't tell if the problem is fully the mixing or if it's just the player on Adult Swim's website, because that thing does not have a volume control. You have to control that shit through, like, your own goddamn computer, so
yeah, that's a pain in the ass. your phone, like, yeah.
Okay, so
Talk about a surprising first impressions leading to something much more caustic and abrasive, and I kind of dig it. Now, maybe it's just my own feelings on black metal as a whole, but I thought the mix was fine enough. Like, I didn't have too much of a problem with it, but again, you're talking to your resident, not a black metal fan guy here, so take that however you will. But yeah, this is much more atmospheric than black metal of this kind really should be. Maybe that's because of the more ambient string and choir sections that they got going on there. Not sure what's going on with that, but it's good. And yeah, they're based out of North Carolina. That's pretty cool. So we do have a couple of good things here. We got Bojangles, we got LGR, and we have extreme feminist anti-fascist black metal. What more do you need?
Wait, what the heck is LJR? Or LGR, rather.
Guy on YouTube who does videos about how to play Doom on everything.
Oh, that motherfucker.
Clint's a good guy. You put some respect on his name.
Look, there's very few gaming YouTubers I pay attention to. Unless their name is Scott, will eventually take a look at the first Mega Man Wozniak parentheses working title. I'd probably not pay him much attention. Anyway, moving on to something much less extreme. As we talked about a couple weeks back, Mr. Damon Albarn will be dropping his second full-length solo album November 12th. The Nearer the Fountain, More Pure the Stream Flow. And we have the second single here, Polaris, which has this somewhat orchestral kind of warm-up to it before segueing into more of the sort of quirky synth work that you generally tend to expect from Damon Albarn compositions. It sort of vibes on those kind of weird electronic beats that honestly don't sound too far removed from Gorilla's The Now Now or something like that, with the occasional saxophone thrown in at points as Damon waxes poetic about things. I'm not a very poetic individual myself, so don't expect me to analyze stuff like that, but it's an okay song. Not super standout or anything, but it's pleasant enough.
Yeah, I do get, you know, the Gorillaz now dropping this track, and well, I wasn't hot on it, to be honest, and while I do appreciate, you know, Albarn singing, like, I do appreciate what he done, but it's like, alright, like, it just can feel like a Gorillaz track with just him on it, but I mean, he's alright. I mean, it's more of the now and less of Bustin' Blue off of Humans, but yeah,
pretty much. Now, moving on to the next track here. Since we brought up gaming YouTubers earlier, might as well delve into the realm of Twitch, and in particular, everyone's favorite Twitch streamer, Matt Heafy from Trivium. I think I'm pretty sure a lot of people like him.
This guy has to get out of Florida stat.
Oh, that's right. He is based in Florida.
Yeah, and there was a little bit of an outbreak within his family, and he got it.
Yeah, that happened too.
Oh, yeah, that's
Ron DeSantis sad. Wants us all dead. In the name of fighting Fauchism. Cute. But anyway, as the vaccination rates are going up and bands are, you know, steadying themselves to possibly get back on the road sometime in the next year or so, that of course includes the guys in Trivium. In addition to that, they've also been working on a new album. Obviously not much of a release date, but at the very least, we do have a new track from them to dissect here. Whether or not this is a one-off or it'll appear on that album is up for speculation. The track is titled In the Court of the Dragon, and it's kind of a beefy one. Well, the song itself is like, what, six or seven minutes or so? It's just attached to a video that's like nine and a half minutes, because it's a whole ass short film. We didn't even get the actual song until like about 2.5 minutes in. And after all that dramatic buildup, it definitely sounds like a, you know, fairly heavy Trivium jam. Plenty of meaty-ass guitar riffs and melodic shredding guitar interplay. Very, you know, pronounced shouty vocals with a lot of power. Drum D-beats abound with the occasional fast right fill and those hard-hitting tom patterns. Lots of fast-paced grooves, tons of energy, blast beats, all of the good heavy shit that you would expect from, like, you know, some contemporary-ass metal. The bridge does have a decent heft to it with some more heavier chugs and some halftime drum rhythms before things pick back up into more thrashy territory, and it's alright. It's one of the better Trivium songs I heard in a while, but again, Trivium is just okay to me. They've never been, like, anything more than, like, a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Well, taking the intro of the song aside, which was composed by one Eason.
Ah, yes, Uncle Eason.
Yeah. Putting that aside, I heard this song on the way home from work the other day, because I have Sirius XM in my car, and I started listening to it at, like, the halfway point, and I said to myself, this is the most Trivium song that Trivium has ever written, and depending on how you feel about Trivium, it's either a good or a bad thing. But for me, this has just enough meat to it to be more on the good side of things. There are some strong riffs here, and the drum work is tight as ever, but again, this sounds like the textbook example of a Trivium song, for better or for worse. Take it however you want.
Probably why I think the song is just kind of okay, but not spectacular or anything. The most Trivium that ever Triviumed. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh boy, it's Beer Pong Legend Post Malone. Yeah, we have no clue if he's working on a new full length to follow up. What the fuck was the name of that album again?
Beer Bongs and Bentleys. It probably is.
Are you sure it wasn't Hollywood's Bleeding?
I think it was that one. Yeah, the one that's I think still on the Billboard 200 after like a year and a half.
Fucking seriously?
Yeah. Probably. You never know.
This one, this seems like a lot of push. That one song circles that got a lot of, you know, a lot of Billboard success.
And now he's taking those sad white boy feelings to Fontana, California to hang out with Tommy Lee. How fun.
Yeah. So we have a new single here, courtesy of the Saucy Postman, called Motley Crue. Crue spelled like, you know, the actual word crew. No umlauts in sight. And what in the holy mother of fuck is he doing with his voice?
Okay. Like, I'm glad I'm not alone with that. What? Yeah. Like, that is... Why, Austin?
Look.
Why?
It sounds like...
I know auto-tune is a staple of his performance at this point. But at least the auto-tune was usually just enough that he still sounded like Post Malone. But here, throughout most of the song, it's cranked up so goddamn high. Either that or he's just performing it so nasally and the auto-tune is making it sound worse. He sounds like he's doing a goddamn Playboi Carti impression.
Oh.
Which, if I wanted to hear a Playboi Carti impression, I would listen to Mario Judah's Whole Lot of Red EP. At least there it was actually ironic. What the hell is this?
Okay, you say Playboi Carti. I was thinking more along the lines of, like, Lil Uzi Vert. But apparently, if you combine the two, this is what you get. I don't know anyone who asked for that, but here you go. Ugh. Random person out there who asked for that for some reason.
Yeah, that's... yeah, I'm gonna say that it sounds like... Like, when I first heard Post, it sounded like someone who... It sounds like Stony Era Post, to be honest.
Oh.
It is. I figured it felt something that, like, he made way back then. Nobody bothered to get that out, and now they got, you know, more big than before. It's like, oh, I can put this on here now. It just sounds like a leftover from a couple of years back. And I find it kind of funny that the music video is from a YouTube page called Lyrical Lemonade.
Oh yeah, they have a whole bunch of videos. I guess they're a production company or something.
Yeah, they mostly have a lot of videos. Well, most of the videos I know is from they mostly when you heard most of the Juice WRLD stuff.
Oh.
I mean, it's out of it from.
Yeah, the vocals are bad on this one, and that's all the more crap because the backing instrumental of the track is actually pretty solid. It's just it's those vocals that just kill it for me. Like, what is he doing? Why is he trying to go for that higher register with whatever post production filtering it's going through? Like, it just doesn't work. And no, hanging out with Tommy Lee in the year 2021 does not make you cool, Austin. It makes you, well, the example of cool, quote-unquote, in, like, 1987. Which isn't cool nowadays.
Oh, one more thing. Actually, I was thinking of Hollywood's Bleeding. That's what the last album I was thinking of. I don't know Post Malone's albums. That's the one I'm thinking of, Hollywood's Bleeding. That's the last album.
Yeah, just, you know, it's so much nothing that I completely forgot I listened to that album.
Yeah, it went down to me too. Because I didn't listen to that album. I didn't listen to that album, so why should I give a shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's something I don't give a shit about.
Yeah, so last track up on the docket here, we're still a couple weeks out from the newest full-length album from Billie Eilish with Happier Than Ever, literally at the exact end of the month. And so we have the latest single from the album here, which is called NDA. And I have to say, of all the singles that we've gotten so far in the run-up to this new album, I'd say this is probably one of the more typical-sounding ones, probably the most expected-sounding in terms of Eilish's general vibe. The beat is heavily synthetic with a lot of strange off-kilter melodic synths that are kind of not unlike Bad Guy, except sounding a little bit more menacing in their tone. The song has a very melodramatic ebb and flow throughout it as Eilish sings about, you know, the struggles of fame, like with, you know, magazine shoots, stalkers, not being able to live life in peace, just generally stuff like that. It sounds pretty good. Again, it's pretty typical of her sound, so, you know, it's not as much of a left swerve as some of the other singles we've gotten so far, but, you know, it's to be expected. I'm still gonna check out where this album's headed at the end of the month.
There are some interesting choices on the production here. The overall dark tone of the arrangement with the heavy bass synths, light pizzicato strings, Billie doing some weird auto-tune effect in the chorus. Take notes, Austin! This is how you do it!
And have.
But the track is pretty solid. It's got sort of a bury your friend feel from the first album, especially with the dark synth, especially with those very light, airy whisper vocals. If typical is more indicative of the previous album, then I guess you could call it a little more typical, but good single to end the promo cycle before the album comes out at the end of the month. It gets a thumb up from me.
Yeah, I could have thought so too. I was thinking this, like, at first I didn't think it was typical because, like, I noticed some sounds that sound like a, I don't want to say oriental, but it sounds like or like oriental drum beat or some shit, like at least that's what I got from it, but that's kind of her style, which I can get with.
Yep. And that about does it for the new song discussion, so we are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a couple of news topics to discuss, so stay tuned. We're back. For this first topic, I have to ask our resident Alex here a simple question. what the hell is going on with wrestling lately?
I don't know. It's been a very, very strange year and a half in the wrestling business between shows being run in empty buildings, shows being run in makeshift sound stages. It's been wild. It's been a very wild ride, but...
don't forget about the RPG discourse.
Oh, yeah, that's been going on for the last couple of years. Yeah. But, yeah. We're finally phasing out of this period with the big companies, and we're finally going back to having shows in front of live audiences and buildings again, because enough people are clean to, you know, go out and venture back into the world of society. I, for one, will be at the AEW show happening in Charlotte in a couple of weeks, so if you see a random sign there, that's probably going to be me.
Do I want to know what the sign says?
I'm not going to make any promises, but if I can pull it off, you'll know by the time I'm there. But yeah, that's in a couple of weeks. Also in a couple of weeks is the return of WWE happening in front of live audiences again on a regular basis. And as part of their, I was going to make a witty joke about this. I think this is just to get more of the young people to actually watch their program, because nobody's watching their program right now because it's terrible. But maybe they might have a coup, because in 2 weekends from now, not this weekend, but the next weekend, Rolling Loud Miami's happening. And out of the blue, we got an announcement that Rolling Loud has partnered up with WWE to hold two matches on that Friday's episode of SmackDown from Rolling Loud in Miami. Why? Because they want to get the kids to watch them so they can get that ad revenue money. Probably. I don't know.
So we're talking the same Rolling Loud that this year will feature the likes of, well, we already mentioned Post Malone, Travis Scott, Playboy Cardi, Ski Mask the Slump God, Tyga, Jack Harlow, Rico Nasty, Rob Banks, whatever the fuck a K Charles is, Beans with the Z, Guap Rain. I'm just reading names here at this point.
Yeah, but yes, that Rolling Loud. Although it will be, as it says in this official statement, what did it say here? Yeah, here it is. A split site broadcast, because the bulk of the show is going to be happening in Cleveland, Ohio that same night. So if you're going to Rolling Loud, you're going to get two matches. I hope you enjoy seeing the matches in between sets from like A$AP Rocky and Travis Scott and the lot. Honestly, the only rationale I can think of for this is they want to get more of a big event feel to get people to watch the show, because the ratings have been garbage lately. But, you know, gotta do what you gotta do. Though this isn't the first time they've done something like this. They've had a couple of partnerships at Download Festival in the UK with their NXT brand, which was more interesting, I'll say that much, because... I guess it's just more interesting because they actually did more stuff with some of the folks there. I think Corey Taylor and or Code Orange got involved in some of the matches during that whole thing. Don't quote me on that. I'm not entirely sure. But if there's going to be a run-in during any of these two matches at Rolling Loud, I don't know who they could get, but I'm sure we'll hear about it like immediately after.
Yeah, but see, the Download thing at least makes sense, and, you know, now that I think about it, that probably explains why CMFT Must Be Stopped sounded so much like wrestling entrance music.
Yeah.
But still, WWE and Roll... You know what, I stopped asking questions ever since that one reggaeton guy got the fucking, what was it, an AEW belt or something?
You mean Bad Bunny at WrestleMania?
Yeah, see, this shows how little attention I pay to reggaeton and pro wrestling. Unless it's something really silly like saying Persona 5 sucks. Which, you have bad taste, sir, and I sincerely hope someone slams you through a table.
Also, just as an obvious thing to say from me to all of you, don't hop the rail to get in the ring. You will get kicked out and banned from that building.
Yeah, I heard about that. Bro, what the fuck?
Oh.
There are crazy people out there. It's been happening all over the place, especially at some of the basketball games. Like, was that one dude who just dumped popcorn on Russell Westbrook? Don't do that! Do you not remember the Malice at the Palace? That wasn't that long ago. People got hurt. There were fights.
People are several flavors of dumb.
It's dumb, extra dumb, dark dumb, light dumb, dumb with caramel, with something, with sea salt.
Yeah, a lot of flavors. And my favorite flavor of dumb, Michael Lang.
Oh no, you not again. Why must I always have to talk about whatever this guy does? Why is this my lot in life?
I enjoy thinking about this man about as much as I would enjoy getting a nail shoved under my big toe.
Well, that just sounds painful.
Ow.
And that is the point.
Speaking of pain, yes, Michael Lang is back. Thankfully, not to talk about Woodstock 50 again. Let us never speak of that again. But this time, there will be another Woodstock being focused on in the form of an upcoming documentary coming to HBO next weekend, July 23rd. Woodstock 99, Peace, Love, and Rage.
Yes.
You all remember Woodstock 99, right?
How could anyone forget?
Yeah, that was the event that killed the brand for good, because, if you weren't there to live through it, or if you haven't seen, like, any of the highlights from that festival, do yourself a favor, go look it up on YouTube. You will be amazed and horrified. But, this is the first in a new documentary series for HBO Max, Music Box, which I believe is being EP'd by Bill Simmons. Very interesting. There will be more documentaries coming throughout this series, including one on Alanis Morissette, one on DMX, something called Listening to Kenny G.
I would rather not.
Yeah, there's a lot of this stuff coming out, and yes, what a way to start it off, about Woodstock 99, you know, the show that had fires and overflowing porta-potties and water sold at $4 a bottle and fires. Damn. Did I mention fires? And also intense heat, because you're doing this at an abandoned airport hangar in upstate New York in summertime.
Yeah.
When it's like 95 degrees outside and, there will be interviews throughout in this special from people who were there. Yes, Michael Lang and John Scheer will be interviewed as well, along with Black Thought from The Roots, Jonathan Davis from Korn, Nobody Cares Moby, Jewel, The Offspring, and even Herp De Derp, Scott Stapp himself from Creed. Because, yes, Creed played at Woodstock 99 as well. On one hand, I am not looking forward to having to listen to Michael Lang try and defend himself again over this. On the other, I love documentaries about really crazy shit. Like, HBO has been doing a lot of them recently. There was one called McMillions about the McDonald's Monopoly defrauding. That was an insane series.
Oh, fuck.
Class Action Park, about Action Park in New Jersey, how it was just a Gen X utopia of pain and alcohol. And also the ones about The Lady in the Dale, insane car thing from the 70s, and the series about the Heaven's Gate cult. Absolutely insane stuff. So I'm into this because this is stupid and crazy, I just don't want to have to deal with Michael Lang again, but god damn it, I'm going to have to anyway. Just every time I think I'm done, he finds a way to come crawling back.
Look, this is probably the last that it's ever going to happen, because there is no way in hell he's going to try pulling, for the sake of argument, Woodstock 60.
You say that now.
Am I going to have to, like, hold... Am I going to have to stick a pin in this and, like, clip this for, like, when we're still doing this podcast, like, 10 years later?
I'm afraid so.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Yeah, this... Well, we got that on HBO Max next week.
Yeah, I'm probably going to... I'm probably going to click that as fast and immediately as I did for the Fyre Festival documentary on Hulu. But, yeah, so with that in the pipeline and the news out of the way, we now have one last thing we got to touch on here, and that is, of course, the new album releases for the week of July 16th, 2021. And sounds like I chose a good time to continue binging through Prince's discography, because there's barely anything here that I give a shit about. But for what it's worth, I assume someone has to care. First off, there's a new album from Bare Naked Ladies with Detour de Force. There's a new John Mayer project, Sob Rock. New album from rapper KSI with All Over the Place. We have a new posthumous project from rapper Pop Smoke with Faith. And a new solo project from Willow Smith with Lately I Feel Everything. So now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, where I just sort of chime in to talk about whatever I feel like talking about. Usually, terrible Kickstarters, because that's what I've been focusing on for the last couple of days. Where's the Vice article, you asshole? Or were you lying about that, too?
I want to see that article. Part of me wishes that article actually existed. It probably doesn't, but oh dear God for the lulz. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, I'm on Twitter, mental media, where I just talk about random shit as of it, as a victim of being, you know what, I should read Space Jam 3, because why not? And also on my site, my haveadoublepress.com. Some stuff may come soon. I don't know what. Just how I'm hoping to get some shit out there. But yeah.
Yep. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. Email me roberts@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Spotify. New episodes, audio only, go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel, so be sure to subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SurrealResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that good business. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can also proceed to relentlessly mock, you know, any scam Kickstarters you come across, and we won't actually boot you for asking questions about scam Kickstarters. Unlike some people we could think of. There's no way that dude's last name is actually Game Face.
Game Face? Really? Game Face? I'm Game Face!
Sounds like a sitcom villain. And, of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, be back next week with the usual business. And, until next time, I wish Rabbit Ear Nezuko was real.